Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the Seed to Seed message for January 2008.
Grace to you. 2008 is going to be great. I wanted to start off this month by declaring that to you and over you for this year. I just believe that God is going to do great and mighty things in this year. And I know Bev and I are full of anticipation and excitement as we embrace the purposes of God for this new year. We ended off 2007 with a tremendous sense of joy and delight and satisfaction in what God had done, and knowing that God had been so faithful to His Word, and we were very much aware of His grace carrying us right up till the end of the year for the busy schedule that we have maintained, and God has been so faithful. I know a few months ago I shared with you where we were financially. Well, I just wanted to declare to you that we ended off the year with fully in the black and blessed. And so we want to just give thanks to God and to all of you who have so faithfully supported us. God is such a good God, and we delight in His fatherly care and goodness to us. Well, we are looking at 2008 with a great deal of anticipation and expectation of what God is going to do. The month's message is very appropriate to this first month as we start off, but more about that later. There are a number of things that I wanted to mention to you. First of all, the book titled The Shack. Michael W. Smith gave Bev and I each a copy of this book when we were up there at the end of November. And we read this book, and what a powerful impact it has had on our lives. As we've traveled around, we've heard of others who have read the book, and it has been life-changing. That is the most frequently used word. I've had feedback from a couple of pastors who have read it on our recommendation, and it has been a tremendous blessing to them as well. So I want to encourage you to get the book, The Shack. It is an imaginary encounter with God on the part of a man, and it's just very powerful because, as I wrote to the publisher, this is a book that restores Daddy's picture. My whole passion and assignment of restoring Daddy's picture is so dear to my heart, and so when I find something that gives a wonderful picture of the Father, I get excited about it. So I want to encourage you to get the book. We have them available from our office. If you want to order it, you can order it online or call the office, 800-225-0245, and order it, or get it through Amazon.com or your local bookstore. But get it. It will be a great blessing to you. It's going to challenge you. It could even offend if you've got any religious bones in your body, or you've got any prejudicial bones in your body. You could easily get offended by the book. But I do commend it to everyone. It will be a great blessing to you. And then let me remind you again of the cruise in July with Michael W. Smith, July 19th through the 26th, the Western Caribbean cruise. And I've heard from a number who are going to be joining us in the cruise. And it's going to be an exciting time. Bev and I are going to get to share in the devotional times and a couple of times in the evenings. And it's going to be a good time. So if you're at all planning a vacation this year and want to make it a special time, why don't you consider joining us on that cruise in July? Well, let me tell you about this month's Seed to Seed message. This is a message that I preached nearly 9 years ago in South Africa. And when we were in South Africa in September and October, Leonard Svensson gave me the CD. He said this was the message that changed his life. Leonard is the guy, those of you who remember, who God used to open the door for us to go and minister at Monash University. And so, because I had forgotten what the CD was about, Leonard gave me a copy of it. And I brought it back to the States, and in November we were driving to a meeting, and I listened to the CD, and oh my word, I had to repent. God really dealt with me about the words that were coming out of my mouth at that particular time. And so I repented at my own preaching, which is a good thing. And so as we've looked at 2008, we felt that this was a perfect message to launch this year, because the reality is this, that you will experience in 2008 exactly what you declare. You are the prophet of your life. And if you're prophesying contrary to the word of God, then you will walk in the fruit of your lips. You will experience death. And so I feel like God's saying to us right at the beginning of this year, it's really important for 2008 that we are careful in what we declare over ourselves, over our spouses, our marriages, our children, our families, our finances, careers, over the body of Christ, over our brothers and sisters, over this nation, particularly in this year of election. It's really important that we're not declaring what the world is declaring. I get very strong in this, that we are not to be following the course of this world, which according to Ephesians 2, is according to the prince of the power of the air. We need to be declaring what God is saying. And for that, God has given us supernatural speech. And so many of us as Christians have just lapsed into natural speech, declaring what we surmise, what we think, what we hear around us, instead of receiving supernatural revelation from heaven and declaring it over our own lives and declaring it over our families. And so I pray that this is going to be a wonderful challenge and a transforming and inspirational message. In the message, when I preached it in South Africa, Bear followed on and spoke about prophesying over yourself. Now, some of you have heard her share this, but there is such an anointing on her sharing and teaching this truth that I really felt we needed to include it. And so even if you've heard it before, you need to hear it again. And I believe it's going to be a real challenge to you, because we need to be exercising supernatural speech. That is one of our great privileges as children of God. The people of this world do have no capacity to speak supernaturally, but we have been given a gifting, an anointing to speak the wisdom of God in words that man's wisdom cannot teach us, in words taught by the Holy Spirit, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so I pray this is going to stir you up. It's going to just bring correction where correction is necessary, and that this year you will become a prophet over your life and over everything that pertains to your life, and that you're going to walk in life, the fullness of life, the fruit of your lips. Remember, as Proverbs says, and Bev reminds us, that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and we do not need to be dispensing death. And when we're declaring anything that is not in accordance with God's revelation, particularly under the new covenant and His grace, we're not imparting grace to the hearers through our words, then we are speaking death. And we don't want to be dispensers of death. We want to be dispensers of life. And so let me pray for you as you listen to this month's Seed to Seed. Lord, I want to thank you for the freedom that we have as your children to be free from the oppression of this world system and live in your kingdom and live supernaturally because of the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit and His anointings and giftings that He has brought to us. And I'm asking you, dear Lord, that we will stir up the gift that is within us, gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues and the gifts of prophecy, and that supernatural utterance will be so natural to every one of us in this new year. Lord, I'm asking you for a cleansing. Touch our lips and cleanse our lips from natural speech and release us into that supernatural dimension of declaring what you have said and what you are saying and what you are purposing to do in our lives in this year. Now, Lord, just let there be such a powerful anointing on the word as it ministers to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings, blessings, multiple blessings on you as you listen. Let's read chapter 19, verse 1 again. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Now let's just try and put this into the historical background. It seems from the mention of Apollos and his ministry at the end of chapter 18 that these 12 disciples were probably men who had been discipled by Apollos. We know from the latter part of chapter 18 that Apollos had been taken into the home of Priscilla and Aquila, and they had explained to him more accurately the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it appears that what had happened was that Apollos was a disciple of John the Baptist. But Apollos didn't know that what John the Baptist was sent to prepare for had happened. And so his ministry was preparatory. It was expecting, and he wasn't preaching the fulfillment of what John was preparing for. And so he had come to these disciples. They had been baptized in John's baptism. We know that from verse 3. And so it was a baptism of repentance from sin. But it wasn't a repentance toward anything. John had said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so he was dealing with repentance from sin. They came to John confessing their sin in the waters of baptism. But now Jesus has come. Not only has Jesus come, but John's baptism has been superseded by a baptism of initiation into the whole new thing that Jesus has brought into existence. And so when Paul comes into the situation, he finds these 12 disciples and something is radically missing. And he says to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" They said, "We didn't know that he is." Now, they would have known, being disciples of John, that John had spoken about the coming one who would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with power. And so they're not saying, "We didn't know that there is a Holy Spirit." They said, and this is accurate to the language in the Greek, "We didn't know that he is, that he is here," in other words. They didn't know that he had come. What a tragedy it is to find disciples living in only a repentance from and not entering into the fullness of what Jesus came to make ours. You know what I suspect? The Apostle Paul came to some churches today. On the average Sunday morning and looked at some Christians, he'd ask the same question. "Do you guys know about the Holy Ghost? Have you received him?" Why? Because in the early church, they weren't concerned about receiving Jesus as Savior. They were concerned about God confirming to the one who had received Jesus as Savior that God had received them as a son and a daughter. And that confirmation came through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so what settled all arguments, for example, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius and preached to them, and the Spirit of God fell on Cornelius, and the leadership in Jerusalem heard about it, and they weren't too excited about Peter going into the house of a Gentile. And Peter came and reported back what had happened. And he said this to them, "If God then gave to them the same gift as he did to us when we believed, who was I to come against God?" The thing that settled everything for the early church was that God had confirmed that those believers were his by giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul in Galatians chapter 3 doesn't say, "Did you receive Jesus by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" He said, "Did you receive the Spirit?" And I believe it's time for the church to come back to God's confirmation
and not man's decision making. Because we've got a lot of people who've made decisions, but they've got no spiritual life. And the issue is this: if you've received Jesus into your heart, then He has come in, and He is the God of glory who comes to inhabit your human body by the power of His Holy Spirit. And something happens in you. You get translated out of living in a natural dimension to living in a supernatural dimension. There should be things happening in your life which cannot be explained in natural terms and can only be explained as a supernatural power of God at work within your life. And I just want to be very simple. If you're not walking in supernatural life, you might need to get saved tonight. Because there are a lot of people who are trusting in a past decision that they've made instead of living in the reality of God's confirmation that they are His, because the Holy Spirit is moving in power within them. And I believe God's going to bring the church back to that. I'm telling you, I never lead someone to Jesus without praying for them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit on the spot. Because I'm not interested in what they're deciding to do. I'm interested in God confirming that they are His by giving to them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so He goes on, and He says to them, and He said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on Him who would come after them, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Now the men were about 12 in all. If we are going to have the impact of that church in Ephesus, then something dramatic and radical has to take place in the church of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand again the purpose for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to say to you tonight that the Holy Spirit hasn't come to you primarily to make you happy. That's part of what He's going to do. But I want you to understand from a larger perspective God's purpose in all the earth. Because when Joel prophesied the coming of the Holy Spirit, this is what he said: "It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Upon your handmaidens, or the manservants and handmaidens, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Now what's God saying? You need to understand that whatever God has ever done in the earth, He has done by His declared word. When God brought everything into being, He spoke it into existence. Everything that God does, He speaks it into effect. Now, here is the problem. When God created Adam and Eve, He put them in the garden and He gave them dominion over the works of His hands. He said, "I'm giving to you authority in this realm in which I have placed you. What you speak has my authority. When you speak over what I have committed to your care, you operate with my authority." And so Adam and Eve functioned there. The only problem was that Satan came in and seduced them into obeying his voice, and in that action, they handed over authority in this earth to Satan. When God sent Jesus into the earth, Jesus came to restore the authority to man that had been lost by Adam and Eve's sin. He came to restore man to their position of dominion and authority. And I want to ask you this simple question. How is that dominion and authority exercised? Through our mouths. In the same way that God spoke, He wants us to speak. But now here's the problem. When we are saved and we are regenerated by the Holy Ghost, we are spiritually recreated. We have one major problem, though, and that is this, that our minds are still programmed to think according to the course of this world. And the problem with the course of this world, according to Ephesians 2, that it's according to the prince of the power of the air. The Spirit, Paul says, that is at work in the sons of disobedience. And without a radical and dramatic transformation of our speech, our mouths will speak what our minds reason. And that is not going to work the authority and the power of God in this earth. So God says, I'm going to have to touch their speech supernaturally. I'm going to have to bring them into a dimension of supernatural speech so that once again, my people will come into submission to me and will speak my word in the earth. And so He says, when I pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. What is prophecy? It is speaking what God says into this earth where He has given us dominion. Now, here is the alarming thing. Just turn to Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Amos 3 and verse 7. I want you to see this passage. An amazing passage of cause and effect. He starts early in the chapter and he starts going through a whole list of cause and effect situations. He said, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Now, he's just wanting to appeal to your logical reasoning. The word unless they are agreed means unless they agree to have a meeting point and begin to walk together. Two can't walk together unless at some point they come together. The cause is they came together, the effect is they walk together. Now just follow him, because there's cause and effect throughout. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? What is the cause? The lion has caught a prey, and so he roars. Okay? The next one. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? In other words, there's got to be a trap before a bird can fall into the trap. Cause and effect. Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? It will not spring by itself. The cause is that something triggered the mechanism and it snapped. Okay? Now follow him, because he's about to say something so powerful and so dramatic. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? What's the cause? The trumpet is blowing, heralding some kind of an attack or some kind of a disaster or some kind of a problem situation. So when the trumpet sounds, the result is the people will be afraid. If there is a calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? He's talking to Israel under the old covenant, and he's just said to them, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. He says to them in verse 2, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. God's saying to them, listen, nothing is going to happen to you but that it's happened by me. And because they were under an old covenant, judgment was coming to them. And he says, when judgment comes in the city, I caused it. Okay? Bless God, that's under the old covenant. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we're under the grace of God. Now look at the next one. Surely, the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to his servants, the prophets. Wow! God took four verses going through cause and effect situations to come to one of the most powerful pronouncements in the Word of God. He said, I do nothing in this earth without revealing my secret to my servants, the prophets. Now here's what's happened. The enemy has shut the prophetic voice of the church down so that we haven't seen the mighty works of God in the earth like we should. And God is restoring the prophetic voice in the church. And the moment we declare it, He can do it. Read the next verse. He gives another cause and effect, and then he's about to say it. Exactly. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? In other words, here is God's pattern. I do nothing without revealing my purpose to the servants, the prophets. And then he says, if I've spoken, you better prophesy. And what has happened to us is, because of our lacking in supernatural utterance, and because we have been so programmed by the system in which we live, instead of immediately being catapulted into supernatural utterance as God people, we think that speaking in tongues is just something that you do occasionally, instead of understanding that it's God's way of bypassing our minds and uttering in the earth His purposes. It's imperative for the purposes of God being fulfilled in your life, in your family, that you receive from Him that supernatural utterance that can bypass the limitations of your reason and your mind, which would not be able to rise to speak what God wants to do. But God's got a way of doing it by speaking it in a language that you don't understand. And you're probably speaking stuff when you're speaking in tongues that if you knew what you were saying, you'd shut up because it's too big. It'd blow your mind away. I'm telling you, God's trying to get His Word spoken in the earth. He has been trying to raise up a church of people who prophesy. What we've said and done is simply this. We've seen somebody who has a prophetic anointing, a prophetic gifting, and we put him up on a pedestal and all the rest of it, instead of recognizing that every single one of us are called to be prophets. Not in the sense of fulfilling the office of a prophet, but every one of us is to be prophets in the sense, if God has said something, we need to be speaking it out. You are the prophet of your life. You're living in today what you spoke over your life 5 years ago. You're living in the fruit of your lips. And it's all biblical. Go and read Proverbs and you'll discover it. And you're going to walk in 5 years' time what you're speaking over your... Probably not 5 years. Things are speeding up too rapidly. But you're going to be walking in very shortly what you're speaking over yourself today. And don't you understand that we need God to do something with our mouths, because what we've been speaking over ourselves is so doomish and gloomish and so negative, and God's trying to fulfill a glorious kingdom purpose in the nation. Christians are down at the mouth. They're following the course of this world. Following the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience. And the Holy Ghost is trying to work in the church. In supernatural utterance. To declare the destiny of this nation. God is trying to bring His church up to a supernatural level of utterance in the situation. The country desperately needs the prophets of the Lord, which is every one of you who are a child of God. We're all prophets. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, He said. Your maidservants and your man. What's He trying to say? He's saying the littlest one needs to be prophesying. Even if you're just prophesying the word of God over yourself. Boy, there's enough power in that to keep you in perpetual revival. Let alone getting supernatural words about destiny and purpose that you can't receive in any other way. Bev's going to follow after me and show you some supernatural ways that God has opened up to her. And it's changing people's lives everywhere. Just understanding some simple truths from the word of God. Turn to James chapter 3. Look at James chapter 3 verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. Now watch this. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. This is supernatural. Too many of us are allowing our bodies to control us. And the reason for that is your tongue. Because the Word of God says if you're able to control your tongue, your whole body is under control. It's under reign. This has been such a big revelation in my spirit. I was sharing with the flow leaders on Tuesday night. A few weeks ago, Bev and I were in our home church. And we had a marvelous worship time. And I was standing there under such a powerful touch of God. The anointing was all over me. I mean, I was rocking under the power of the Spirit. And God was talking to me. And He was applying this verse in a way that I had never dreamed. He said, Satan knows if he can control the tongue of the church, he can bridle the whole body of Christ. If the enemy can control the voice of the church, which is every single one of us because we're all called to be prophets, to prophesy. If he can control our voice, he can bridle the whole church and make the church go in the direction he wants. Whoever controls the tongue controls the body. That's it. Look at verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. The enemy knows the principle. The key to the body of Christ is the voice, the tongue. The key to your body is your tongue. He's after your tongue. If he can control your conversation, he can control your whole life. There is coming a mighty, amazing anointing that he's going to unleash in all the earth on the church. But what is going to spell destruction is if the church hasn't learned to control its mouth. And here God is saying, I've got a supernatural way for your mouth to come under control. It is through supernatural utterance. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 14. And I'm just going to lay the foundation, then I'm going to hand over to Bev. 1 Corinthians 14. Because she's got the revelation on this. And she's going to present it with her anointing and her authority. And it's going to be powerful. 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and be cautious about spiritual gifts. Pursue love. And be white hot with passionate desire for spiritual gifts. Zelao in the Greek means to be white hot. That means that's beyond red hot. I mean, this is intense burning desire. This is passionate desiring for spiritual gifts. Have you ever heard this thing that we should seek the giver, not the gift? That comes from the pit of hell. It is not in the Word, and it's not close to being truth. It is the enemy's way of keeping you in natural living. He gave us spiritual gifts to bring us into the realm of glory where He is. When I desire spiritual gifts, I'm desiring Him. He is His gifts. I mean, what kind of a person would Bev be if I bought her gifts to express my love and be the expression of myself to her? And she says, no, I don't want your gifts, I want you. I'd say, woman, you're nuts. This is me. This is my heart. The Bible says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And especially that you may prophesy. Verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now please, just remember that the context of 1 Corinthians 11, 12, 13, and 14 is told very clearly in chapter 11 and reiterated again and again through the passage. When you are gathered together, the regulation that he gives to us here is for the gathering together so that things are done, not in chaos, but in the order of the Holy Ghost. But by no means is he applying what applies to when we gather together to when you're on your own. Do you understand that? Because he says, do all speak with tongues in chapter 12 when he's talking about the gathering together. But then in chapter 14 says, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. Paul, are you schizophrenic? No, he's not schizophrenic. But what he's trying to do is saying, hey, if you're all trying to get a message in tongues across in the church, there's just not enough time for everybody to do it. And so let's have order, and so three do it. Do you understand? So he gives a regulation. But he's not limiting what God is wanting to do the rest of the time. He says, praise God, I pray in tongues more than you all. I speak in tongues more than you all. But he said, in the church, I'd rather speak five words so that people can be edified and can understand. And so he's clarifying it. We need to understand 1 Corinthians 14 in the context that so much of the direction is given for when you are gathered together. He's not talking about the rest of the time when you desperately need to be in the Spirit of God. Okay. And so he goes on, he says, for he who speaks, okay, verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. I'm telling you, I am sick to death of the prophets who come in and tear up and criticize and judge and so on. They are not new covenant prophets. They've got a new covenant calling perhaps, but they still got old covenant legalism inside their hearts and judgmentalism. They need to get under the anointing and get healed of their emotional wounds and their judgments against the church of Jesus Christ so that they can speak to edification, consolation, and exhortation. That's a New Testament prophet. This is what he does. He edifies, he exhorts, and he comforts. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Oh, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, now in the church, he's saying we need to regulate it. But he's saying, man, when you're on your own, I speak in tongues more than you all. Whoa, I'm catching up fast. Bev's ahead of me. As she said this morning, there's some days when she talks more in tongues than she does in English. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he indeed he interprets. He's not saying prophecy is superior to tongues, per se. He is saying prophecy is better for the edification of the church, unless the guy who's speaking in tongues also prays for the ability to interpret what he's saying. Now, here's the key verse, verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? What is Paul saying? Go and study the context clearly, and what you will discover is that those four categories are categories of interpretation of tongues. It demands it. You study it carefully and you'll find out. Brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? God is trying to speak in the earth. And you are the key to His word being spoken out. You say, Brother John, I can't prophesy. Well then, pray in the Holy Ghost and ask Him for the interpretation, because one quarter of it is going to be prophesying. When you interpret what you're praying in a tongue, it's going to be revelation, which is the unveiling of something that was previously a mystery. It's going to be knowledge. In other words, God is going to give you knowledge of something that you didn't gain by natural means. And thirdly, it's going to be prophesying, speaking forth the purposes of God in the earth, and by teaching, instruction. Now let me just give you one of the most wonderful insights in the Word of God. Ephesians 5:18 says this: be filled with the Spirit. What's the next word? Speaking. Now, here is one of the enemy's little ploys that he has done to silence the church and make us self-conscious. In the Greek text of Ephesians 4:18, in every Greek manuscript available, as well as for Colossians 3:16, which is a parallel verse, there is a word in the Greek which consistently has been wrongly translated. It is this word. It is the word helotos, which the Greek translators perpetually translate as alleluos. It says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Helotos. And they keep on translating it one another. And there's no Greek manuscript anywhere that has alleluos. It's all heautos. But their religious minds could not conceive of any good thing coming from people speaking to themselves. And so every place it's speaking to one another. But I want you to know, you can't edify anyone if you haven't first started edifying yourself. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to change your speech so that you start speaking over yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 is, let the word of Christ, the anointed one, dwell in you richly while you speak to yourself, or teaching and admonishing yourself. And they've translated it one another. I challenge you to go and search the scriptures and check up what I'm saying. But it's the truth. We're supposed to be teaching and admonishing ourselves. How? Well, Brother John, I don't know enough Bible. You've got the Holy Ghost living in you. He's the author of the Bible. And He wants to speak the Word of God over you. Yeah, but I'm not smart. It doesn't matter about smarts. You've got the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak over you in spiritual utterance. Come on, Bev.
About 6 months ago, I love to walk. And so I was walking and I was just like talking to the Lord. And I just pray in tongues and I do this power walk thing, you know. And I just really walk, you know. And this day, John didn't walk with me. And so I was walking and I just like, I'm praying. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and I'm just speaking out loud. And I walk around this whole area in our where our house is that's being built. You know, that they're busy with a lot of construction. So these Mexican construction workers, they kind of look at me and they kind of wave. And I'm just, and I'm just going for it, you know. And the Spirit of God said to me, I mean, I really don't care what anybody thinks, you see, because I've learned this truth that it edifies me inside of me. And Jude chapter, well, there's only one chapter in Jude, but verse 20 of Jude says this, that you edify and you build yourself up in your most holy faith when you pray in the Holy Ghost. So guess what's happening when I pray in the Holy Ghost? My faith, which sometimes is so small, and some of you saying, I haven't got any faith. Well, start praying in the Holy Ghost. It'll build you up in your most holy faith as you start praying in the Holy Ghost. So, I'm praying in tongues, and the Spirit of God said to me, start interpreting what you're saying. Start speaking in English what you're saying. I knew the voice of the Spirit. And so I said, all right, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I'm just going to be making this up. This is just going to come out of the fabrication of my mind, and I'm just going to be making it up. And so I keep walking and I keep praying, but the Spirit is urging me inside. So I thought to myself, well, what have I got to lose? Nobody's around me except these workers, and they can't hear me. You know, they think I'm Looney Tunes anyway. And I'm thinking, all I'm going to be doing is speaking to myself, and I'm not even going to tell anybody what I'm going to say. So I'm just going to start interpreting over myself, and I'm going to start prophesying over myself, because I am the prophet of my life. And I love to get words from prophets, but you know what? I'm the prophet of my life. And so I started. And the first word, always, is daughter. And I'm digging deep. I mean, I'm going deep. And I'm in this other realm out there. You know, there are times that I've walked that I don't even know where I am. I've got lost. And I walk the same route every time. But it's just that it's not just my blonde hair. It's because I'm so in the Spirit. This is at the bottle, so you know, it's okay. So it's just like I'm in the Spirit, you know, and I'm just praying. And he says, daughter, tarandikina pasa, have no fear. Talalalakanda pashatsikida, I'm with you. I will never leave you. And that's just the most incredible prophetic thing came out of my spirit. And the Spirit of God was so incredibly sweet. He used phrases, he used words that I don't usually use in my everyday language. And it's just like it confirmed to me that this was the Spirit. I got home that day and I was higher than a kite. I'm telling you. I didn't actually tell anybody what I'd done, because I'd never heard any, you know, understand, I grew up Baptist, and I'm thankful to God for the wonderful upbringing that I had in just the training of the Word. But I just knew so little about the Holy Spirit and so little about his gifts. And I've had to play catch up. So I've never really had any teaching on this. I've never heard anybody tell me that I could do this, that I could prophesy over myself. Never. So, I mean, every day. I didn't even tell John for 3 days. I couldn't wait to get out there and walk every day. It was like the highlight. It was like, you know, it was like, well, this is, I read the Word, I get out of bed, I read the Word, I spend time in the Word, and this is so important. But I'm telling you, that was like the bread and this was like the pudding. You know, it's like I got out there and the Spirit of God began to speak through me. And I would just speak and he would give me instruction. He would give me encouragement. He would remove things from me. He would speak wisdom into my spirit concerning different issues. I'd begin praying over, for example, the Lord told me to pray over the book that's out there called Son that John's just written. And one day I'm praying over the book and I began to speak in tongues. Tarandi, and I began to speak in tongues. And the Spirit of God gave me the interpretation of the book. And he said, this book is going to be a key that's going to unlock amazing doors throughout this earth. And I mean, he just spoke this amazing word to me. I came home and by this time I told John what I'm doing. And I said, let me tell you. And now John wants to know, what did God say to you today? It's so fun. I mean, there's hardly a day that goes by in my life that I don't do this. Because it's just brought new life to my spiritual life. This happened about 6 months ago. So, I've known all along that I have a daughter of 24, Tracy. She just got engaged 2 weeks ago, and she's getting married on the 7th of August. I know you all want to know that, so bless her, Lord. She's just a precious, she's traveling with Daryl Evans. She plays the keyboard. And she's a wonderful preacher. I mean, she's got her dad in her, and she's got a little bit of me. She's got my looks, you know. But she's got her dad's preach in her, you know. And she's a preacher, and she sings, and she prophesies. And so I've known that I'm a mentor to her. And so one day I'd gone up to Tulsa, where she's living right now, and I said, Tracy, let's go for a walk. So we're walking. And as we're walking, I get to do just what, you know, I've learned that my children need to see Christ in me. Not just when I'm behind the pulpit, but in my home. Just in every part of my life. And so I said, right, I'm just going to do what I always do. So I start. And I'm speaking and we're striding, we're walking, you know. And so then I start prophesying. And I said, now Tracy, it's your turn. She said, Mom, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. I said, all you do is pray in tongues. The first word is daughter. And then you pray in tongues some more, and the Spirit of God will give it to you. And then she said to me, I promise you, she said this to me, she said, I'm just going to be making this up. I just know it. I said, you know what? The devil used that one on me too. It's okay. We're in the realm of the Spirit right now. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Just go ahead and speak it forth. So she gets up. I mean, you know, she's a little fireball too, you know. Tasha, and she speaks in her prayer language. I said, yes, Tracy, dig deep. Dig deep. You see, now I'm exhorting her. I'm coaching her in this whole deal. So she's praying in tongues, and I'm saying, dig deep, Tracy, dig deep. You know, we just, anybody looking at us must have thought we just lost our bananas, you know. Somewhere along the path, we had lost it. And so she, I said, yes. And I said, right, now, Trace, come on. The first word is daughter. And she says, all right, I'm going to try this. Daughter. I said, all right, now pray in tongues some more. She prays in tongues a little bit more. And out of her belly, not here, here, flows this most incredible prophetic word about going through the river, about standing on the other side, about standing on the promises of God, about seeing every promise absolutely fulfilled by God. And she is so high, I mean, she's getting louder and louder, and she's preaching, and she's praying in tongues, and she's preaching, and we are just two wild women. She's blonde too. And we are just so wild for the holy God of glory. And I'm telling you, it set the pattern for our whole day. It absolutely, I mean, it just, and so she just does it every day. So now she's engaged to this guy called Matt Jones, a real nice guy. He's a little older than she is, a year older. He went to Oral Roberts University, also did a theology major. He knows he's called into the ministry. And so one day they're busy, he bought this old table that they're busy refinishing, you know. So they're sanding it off, and at night after he'd come home from work, they would sand it off, and they'd work on it together. Really sweet, you know, for their little house. So anyway, they're busy working and sanding this little table off, and Matt is kind of just brumming, you know. He's just saying, man, if only I just had a word from God about some issue. And he was just pouring out his heart. And Tracy says, Matt, get your coat. Let's go for a walk. Isn't this good? I'm telling you. So if this is the middle of the night, you know, like 9, 10 o'clock at night, so they go and they walk. And she says, Matt, she says, Mom, I told him just what you told me. I told him exactly what you told me. I told him what it does, how he should do it. Mom, he came back with the same thing. It'll just be me. But I said to him, it doesn't matter. Just go for it anyway. And I said, Matt, the first word is son. And he began to prophesy over himself. He didn't know he could do it. And he began to prophesy. And the man was walking on cloud 9 because the Spirit of God that was so big within him was released. It's the most wonderful thing. It edifies you. It builds you up. Your faith is increased. Everything about you changes. Your life changes because you start edifying yourself up in your most holy faith. And it's absolutely changed my life. Somebody came up to me today and this morning and said, it's so fun to see the way God has grown you. And I'm telling you, this is how he's done it. See, the Proverbs, when I read through Proverbs, this is a kind of a fun thing to do. I'm reading through the Amplified Bible. This is the third time through it. And so when I read through Proverbs in the Amplified, I made a little index for myself. And every time a verse spoke about a tongue, you know, the words of your mouth, you will eat of the fruit of your mouth, I put a T in the margin, and you will be amazed how many verses there are about your tongue. You are the prophet of your life. In fact, Proverbs tells me that out of your mouth, every word that you speak either is going to be life or it's going to be death. Now, you know, we know that verse off by heart. We can all quote it, but none of us believe it. We know it, but we don't believe it, because out of your mouth is going to come life or it's going to flow death. I mean, we say things like this, and I'm telling you, John and I have had to check each other, and we do. We check each other all the time. We say things like, it just scared me to death. Yeah, it drives me crazy. I just feel like I've lost my mind. We say all these things and we think, what am I speaking? I'm speaking Alzheimer's over myself. I'm speaking death over my spirit. And we say, oh, it's just a nice little saying, you know. And be careful, don't play with that stick. You're going to poke your eye out. And guess what happens? You know. And we speak all these negative things, and they're just little quaint little sayings, and you say, but Beverly, you're splitting hairs. No, I'm just really, really serious about the words of my mouth. Because out of my mouth is going to flow life that will edify one another, or it's going to flow death that will cause death to those who hear it. And so it's so important. In fact, the writer to Hebrews says this, that Jesus, Hebrews 3 chapter 1 says this, so then, brethren, consider Jesus the apostle and the high priest of what? Your confession. In other words, Jesus is the high priest. What you confess out of your mouth, Jesus takes and he takes it before the Father. He is the high priest of my confession. So what have I given him to work with today? What have you given him to work with today? Are you speaking the word of God over yourself? Okay, here's the deal. Now, I mean, this is like up-to-date, like real stuff, you know? I was sick this afternoon. I ran a fever. I went to see Dr. Willie, and he just blessed me. Now, I have got a great choice here. I ran a great fever this afternoon. I was shivering and shaking, and I was just burning up inside, and I have got everything to say, well, I'm sick. I just am sick. I mean, I'm sick. My body is sick. I'm running a fever and I am sick. Now I can choose to say that, or I can choose to say what the Word of God says. And what does the Word say? Tell me. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. So here's the deal. The fact is, I'm sick. I've got a fever. But the truth is, by His stripes, I am healed. Now I've got a choice. I can either confess the fact, or I can start speaking the truth. Now, I'm not denying the fact. I mean, you'd never know I was sick because I'm not sick. Because I'm telling you why. I knew as soon as I stood up here, the enemy's ground was defeated. He was trying to keep me from speaking tonight. I just knew it. I knew the ploy of the enemy. So I've got a choice. I either speak the fact and go to bed and lie there until I feel better, or I get up and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and no weapon formed against this body is going to prosper. And in Jesus' name, I'm well. Now, that's not denying the fact that I, yes, had a fever. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, because the name it and claim it guys have got a bad name. But I'm telling you, we threw the baby out of the bathwater. We did. Because we're so careful, well, I've got to speak the truth. Yes, I'm sick, and yes, I got cancer, and yes, I got da-da-da-da. But the truth is, and you might say, yes, I'm not feeling good, but the Word says that I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. And the truth is, yes, I don't have any money in the bank, but the Word says, guess what the Word says? He will provide all my needs according to His riches. In His glory, by Christ Jesus, the Anointed One. You see, it's what's coming out of your mouth. Do you understand that? And you might be saying, oh, I'm so poor, I can't even pay my bills, and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm just like, my family, my kids are in rebellion, I can't do da-da-da. And you can keep on speaking that stuff. And guess what? When you speak the fact, and all of that may be fact, the fact will remain the fact. But if you take the truth, and speak the truth over the fact, guess what happens? The fact changes to becoming the truth. I'm telling you, because that's what the Word says. It's wonderful. You know, we all know this word. In Hebrews 4, is it verse 12? It says, the word of God is sharper and powerful more than even a two-edged sword. We know that, but we don't believe it. And when we begin to speak the word of God over our situation, I'm telling you, there's power in the spoken word. And it's not just power in the thought word or the meditated word or the thinking word. Or it's power in the spoken word. Because when it comes out of your mouth, from your spirit, your ears got to hear what your spirit says, and it changes your heart, changes your mind. Man, this is good stuff. I'm telling you, this is powerful stuff. It's changed our lives. Now let me just warn you, don't try it just for one day, or one week, or one month. But make a executive decision, if you like, in your life to say, Lord, put a guard, just like the psalmist said, Put a guard over the doors of my mouth. Put a guard, yeah, Lord. Put a guard. Let me not speak the negative word, but always speak the positive word. Let me speak the truth of the word. I've got so many bills. I'm so deep into debt. I don't even know what I'm going to do. But Lord, you have said, and I just give this to you, Lord, you have said that you will open the windows of heaven and you'll pour out a blessing more than I can even imagine. And you've said you're going to pour it down, press down, shaking together and running over. And Lord, I take these bills and I give them up to you, for you have said you will meet every need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm not denying the fact, but I'm speaking the truth. And boy, as I walk and as I begin speaking in tongues and as I begin prophesying over myself, it has absolutely changed me. Now let me give you just a little aside here, because it'll help some of you, somebody. You know, I mean, you might think John and I are just absolutely perfect. Well, you know, we're close, but we're not quite there, you know. We're not quite there. You know, every now and again, he makes me mad. I mean, I know you can't believe that I ever get mad, and I know you can't believe that he would make me that mad, but he does. He just rattles my cage. And so, I really love him. I've lived with him for 26 years, and I'm telling you, I love him more than I ever did 26 years ago. So, in January, we had our wedding anniversary, and so for just the weekend, we were going down to Houston to go and preach in a church there, and we decided to go and stay for the weekend. We went down on the Friday, I think, and we stayed for the weekend just to enjoy in Galveston, which is right on the Gulf Coast. We went and stayed at the Holiday Inn there, and we just enjoyed a little mini honeymoon, if you like, just to celebrate our wedding anniversary. Well, on Sunday, John preached in the church, and we were driving back, and he just made me mad. And so I, you know, get the sulks usually when I get mad. And I'm thinking, I'm going to let him just, you know, sweat this one out a little bit, you know. And I know, you know, he is so smart. I mean, you need to try and have a husband like me. I cannot argue with him because he's so smart. He's just clever. He argues me into a corner. And so, am I just letting all the dirty washing show? But it's okay. You know, this is going to help some of you. So, we get back to the hotel room and I'm still mad at him, you know. And so I go out onto the little terrace and the Spirit of God said to me, now start prophesying over the situation that you've just been in for the last half an hour. So I thought, oh, shucks, okay. So I started to speak in tongues. And then he began to give me a word that spoke into that situation that brought total peace to my spirit, made me remove my hands and no longer having to justify or having to win my argument or my part of the argument. It was like peace descended upon my spirit, and he comforted my soul and instructed me by the words of the Spirit. That's good. I mean, is that practical or what? That's practical. We were in Lubbock just a few weeks ago, and another woman stood up the next night and she said, I just have to tell you this. She said, last night I was on the telephone for 2 hours with my daughter who's at university, and she said, I just was praying in tongues the whole time. You see, when you pray in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. When you pray in tongues, you are speaking the wisdom of God. You know, that's what the Word says. Go study it. It's wonderful. So if you don't have wisdom in a situation, start praying in tongues over it. And then just see God give you that wisdom. And she said, I just was praying. She said, I held the phone up like this so that my daughter wouldn't hear me. It wouldn't freak her out that our mother's rabbling off here. And she said, I just let her pour her heart out, and I just prayed in the Spirit the whole time. And then she said, I began to tell her what the Spirit of God was saying to me. And she said, I brought an email from my daughter that came this morning, and she read us the email. Her daughter has said in the email, I cannot stop smiling. Something changed in my life as I was talking to you last night, Mom. Something happened within me. As I was teaching this, there was a little lady that came into the back of the church. She arrived late and she sat near the back of the church. And she told me this afterwards. She said, as I heard you speak this, she said, Beverly, 20 years ago, she said, I was just baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I began to write love letters from the Father. She said, I didn't know. said, I would pray in tongues and I'd just begin to write whatever he said. I would just write it out in my journal. And then some big preacher came to me and said, you know, you need to be careful about prophesying over yourself. This is dangerous stuff. And she said, I closed my book and I haven't done it since. And she said, I got so excited. She said, because that brought such life to my spirit. 2 days before we left to come to America, a preacher called me in real dire need. He says, Beverly, do you have a word from God for me? And I don't know, I just started to speak to him. We prayed together. And out of the, I mean, just like spontaneously, I began to share with him about the wonderful truth about prophesying over yourself and over your situation. And his wife was on the other phone, and she said, oh, Beverly, 15 years ago when Paul and I were just dating, I began to do that. And I would write him these long letters of what God was saying in Paul's life, and I would mail it to him and send it to him. And he would read it, and it would exhort him. But she said, I went through a hard patch, and I thought, oh, this is just me making it all up, and I haven't done it since. But she said, speaking to you has just stirred up that wonderful truth again in my spirit. I'm telling you, folks, the enemy wants to keep your tongue silent so that he can control your life. Husbands, fathers, he wants to keep your tongue silent instead of prophesying over your wife and over your kids and speaking the word of God over them. I'm telling you, you need to rise up at the priest of your home and to begin to do what God has called you to do. To rise up and prophesy. And you say, but I can't. But yes, you can. Practice. Practice. Go practice. Well, I don't have any time. Well, you've got 3 minutes on the potty every day. Whatever. Find some time to do it. I'm telling you, you will find time that is a priority in your life. Isn't that true? I lost you for a minute. I'm telling you, it's the truth. If it's a priority in your life, you will find time to do it. It's just like you clean your teeth every day because you can't stand the hair on your teeth when you get up in the morning. I mean, you've got to get that bad breath out of your mouth. It's a priority in your life to clean your teeth. I'm telling you, praying in tongues is a priority in my life. It's as important to my spiritual life as cleaning my teeth is to my teeth. And I want to exhort you today, pastors, leaders, husbands, wives, young people. I mean, I have people coming up to me all the time saying, do you have a word from God for me? And you know what? I will. I will always have a word from God. I will seek God's face, and if he gives me a word, I'm going to speak it out. Because you know why? I've realized that God can't do anything without him first speaking it through the prophet. Tapasisha Chiquita. You know, there's some folk here tonight, and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a great place to do it. And it's not a big deal. You know, it's your gift. It's a gift. And it's, see, you can't work it. To work it up, well, then I'm going to strive to get it. The very nature of the word, it's a gift. All you've got to do is receive it. For me, I had to get the Holy Spirit out of my little Baptist box. I mean, I had him really tightly wrapped up in my Baptist box. Like, you are definitely in there, and the lid's on. There's a big pink bow on top of it. And you stay. It's like a jack-in-the-box, you know. You stay. I'm keeping this lid on it. And I had to take that lid off and say, Holy Spirit, come into every area of my life and change me. In January of this year, I did a ladies' conference. I spoke at a ladies' conference in a Baptist church in our area. It was really interesting. I thought, Lord, how much light do I show? Shine. I don't want them to just blink and, you know, turn it all off. And so, Lord, help me just to be so winsome and so kind and just to gently lead them further into the things of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, every single, there were 99 women at that conference, and every single one of them came forward for ministry. One woman came up to me and said, I had a dream last night. And I was swimming against the river. And I'm so tired. What do you think it means? Another woman comes up to me and she said, I saw this little lever, just like you've got a thing in your car that says when you're low on gas, you know, low on fuel, petrol. This little lever came up that says, running on empty. What do you think it means? so many of them got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the pastor called me on the Monday. He said, I can't tell you, my church has changed. We had 2 hours of testimony time because the lives of the people changed. Amen. The Holy Spirit is so wonderful. You don't have to be afraid of Him. He's so wonderful. And He just draws you to Jesus and loves you and empowers you to live the Christian life. You cannot do it on your own. You can grit your teeth and you can discipline yourself and you can learn Bible verses and you can do all you have to do. And I mean, just get your prayer lists going and get your alarm clock working at 5 o'clock in the morning and doing all this stuff. But I'm telling you, it's a work of the flesh if it's not done by the Spirit. Yeah. And when the Spirit comes, it will dwell within you. And He creates such a hunger and such a love affair with Jesus. And it's so wonderful. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and you've never spoken in tongues, you can do it tonight. You can do it tonight. You know what? I know there's some folk here tonight who've never received Jesus into their hearts. Well, that's the very first step. And if you've never received Jesus into your life today, He is standing with arms wide open. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you life, more life than you can ever handle. He wants to come and fill you with Himself. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a direction for your life. He wants to be with you. He wants to sit closer than a brother. And you never, ever have to be alone again. Because He comes to live within you. And tonight you can receive Jesus. And it's wonderful. There's some folk here who need healing in their bodies. There's somebody who's just been diagnosed with cancer. And the Lord says, I'm going to heal you tonight. Oh, yeah. This week, just this week, you went to the doctor. And the Lord says, I want to heal you. There's somebody with a thyroid problem. For those of you who don't know what's going on, these are like the Spirit of God's giving you just words of knowledge. Because this is what He wants to do. There's somebody with a thyroid problem. And you've had a thyroid problem. And the Lord says, I want to touch this thyroid tonight and heal you. Yes. A right hip. You've had, it's like, whoa, pain in the hip. The Lord wants to touch your right hip. Bowel. There's bowel problems. Bowel problems. God's going to touch them tonight. And He's going to give you some new gold teeth, you know. He's just throwing that in. Oh, throw in a few gold teeth, Lord. Last night was so wonderful. Even this morning, as I was praying for people, I saw the gold dust settling on their hands. I didn't say anything to them. They had their eyes closed, the malakas. And the lady who was with me, putting their little blankets over their knees, you know. I said, gold dust all over. See, God's moving. Supernatural. Supernaturally. You can't explain the gold teeth. You can't even explain the gold dust. I mean, you can't explain this. This is God. Big God. I mean, like, big, big God. The God who made this whole earth. Who hung all the stars in the sky. The one who is the absolute head. It holds it all together and hangs it all together. This is the big God. And He loves you. And He says, come. Will you come to me tonight? He says, whatever you have need of, I want to give it to you as a free gift. Glory. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's so wonderful. Lord, You're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. Now, some of you think, now what do I do now? Well, just close your eyes and be quiet. And let the Spirit of God speak to you. You're so wonderful, Lord Jesus. Tapaliki tibisatakasi kinzi. Glory, 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 glory. I declare Your glory in this place this night. Lord, You told me to declare Your glory. And I declare Your glory. I declare Your glory. I declare Your glory. Over everyone in this building, everyone, the glory of God be manifest upon you. I just declare Your glory in this place tonight.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You've been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.